This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Joining us on the line, we have Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst Mark Hamrick on our Trocare College live line, looking at, well, what's going to be a busy week of a lot of different reports, including a jobs report later in the week and a lot of earning calls by big business. And Mark, you know, on those earning calls and what we've seen from business, uncertainty we've been talking about this morning seems to be the word of the month, with a lot of businesses not knowing what to expect over the next year or so with the changing tariff policy. How is that impacting what you're seeing in the markets and everywhere else financially?
Yeah, good morning, Brian and Susan. Good to be with you. Uncertainty undermines confidence, and that is true whether we're talking about those who are leading businesses who need to make decisions regarding the deployment or the spending of capital. And part of that also relates to their willingness or confidence with respect to hiring, to get to the employment piece of it relevant with the data due this week. It also undermines the confidence of investors, and that's why we had a virtual bear market. Thankfully, we've seen a bounce in the stock market in recent weeks as the administration or the president has backed off some of the worst of the ill-conceived policy ideas or initiatives, such as firing the Federal Reserve chair, having sort of a trade war that would seem to go on forever. We need resolution of that issue, but, you know, I think people are trying to take somewhat of an optimistic approach to that. And so, to your point, it is sort of a combination of uncertainty, not knowing how this works out, some degree of certainty, because I don't think, you know, the management style, if you want to call it that, of the administration is going to change. And so volatility, to some degree, certainty about tariffs are going to be the leading tool. Those things are going to be with us for the foreseeable future.
You know, it's been stock market whiplash, really. People are starting to wonder, Mark, if they're too invested in stocks. What would you say to them?
Mm-hmm. I'd probably want to... And I, you know, I guess I'd be signing up for a lot here, but I'd want to have essentially one-on-one conversations with them to try to get to the potential answer to that question, because it varies from person to person. And the other part of it is, we don't know whether the market has already hit bottom. I'd like to hope that it has, but obviously we don't know, and trying to predict that is really a fool's errand. So to your question, Susan, I think what I would say is I would ask a couple of questions. Number one is, well, what do you require from your investments? What are you looking for? And what is your risk tolerance? Is this keeping you up at night? And for many at this point, I think a dramatic adjustment in their approach is probably going to be too little too late. But if, let's say, someone is sort of looking at the need for their funds, at least beginning in the not too distant future, it might be appropriate to dial down their exposure to stocks. It's part of the trouble with what the way markets have behaved recently is anything that's sort of U.S. Facing has been sold. And so the dollar's coming under pressure and has declined in value. Bond prices have declined in value, and stock prices have declined in value. And so in that environment, you really have to take an almost surgical approach to your investments. And so that's where I would say, you know, it might be prudent for them to talk to an investment professional, maybe a fee-only planner or somebody like that, where they don't have to part with much cash to have the conversation and perhaps to take some action to fine tune their approach. The other thing is, I like to remind people that, you know, it's better to get in at lower levels. We don't enjoy seeing the declines in 401ks and that sort of thing. But, you know, the whole thing about buying low and selling high really is a good mantra. And so obviously at lower levels, you are buying lower, and hopefully you'll be able to sell higher at some point.
Are we at that lower level, though? I think that's what a lot of people are thinking about. If they have some money, they're looking to jump in. We're always told not to time the market, but mm-hmm. with all the uncertainty that we're talking about, the consumer confidence may be going down a little bit. This next quarter of earnings coming up here, and then looking a little further down the year, I think it has a lot of people wondering, well, what if this isn't the low?
The best approach is one that essentially is consistent over time. And so for the bulk of investors who are looking at the market for their 401k, they are essentially making a contribution with every paycheck. Hopefully their employer is matching at least a part of that. And that's dollar cost averaging. And so to your point, yes, it really isn't about timing. I'm not advising that. Traders will trade and they'll do their own thing. That's not what we're about at Bankrate, not discouraging people from that who are in that world. But most of us aren't doing that. And so it's really about the methodical, prudent approach that's consistent over time. And that's where you get the advantage of getting it in a lower level, acknowledging that markets do move up and down. And they had mostly moved up in the previous couple of years to the tune of better than, nearly 20% or better percentage gains in the major averages or the S&P 500. And so it was to be expected that we would have a give back. Our Market Maven survey at Bankrate.com, people can read about those surveys that we do of investment professionals. They have been telling us even before we knew, let's say, the reason that we should expect lower returns in the market this year and over the coming 5 years, or at least anticipate that possibility. And so history does have a way of reverting to the mean, and it has reverted to the mean. We just didn't, as I said, we didn't know the cause or the reasons behind that here.
Mark, I'm sure you're familiar with those buy now, pay later plans. A LendingTree survey has found 25% of buy now, pay later users are funding grocery purchases with these loans. That has to be a telltale sign of this economy right now.
Yeah. My colleagues, some of whom I think you speak with on the air, like Greg McBride and Ted Rossman, we shared that data point when we first saw it, and sort of, I guess what I'd say is we all, in one way or the other, sort of commented, ugh, because that's a bad sign. And we're all also seeing credit card delinquencies on the rise to the highest level since the great financial crisis. So, we know there is a cost to inflation. We know there's a cost to the elevated price levels that we're experiencing. We also are reminded that was what sort of propelled, it, at least in part, the president's ascendancy in the campaign, was the promise to address inflation. And unfortunately, here we are with tariffs that raise the prospect and indeed the reality of rising prices as firms have tried to get ahead of that. And we have both a very concerning potential combination of slower growth or recession, as well as higher prices, or maybe a different flavor of so-called stagflation. And those are detrimental with respect to the potential outcomes for household finances. So one solution for this, aside from continuing to fund retirement accounts, is to pay down debt where we can and to try to bolster emergency savings. If we do experience a recession, that typically is associated with higher unemployment, lower hiring. And, the peak for unemployment in the last couple of recessions has been either close to 15% during COVID or 10% in October 2009. We're at 4.2% to get back to the report we expect on Friday, which is the monthly employment report.
All right. Well, Mark, we'll talk with you again a little bit later on in the week. Thanks so much. Mark Hamrick, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst, joining us live on WBEN.